From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's the debut of Marvel News from Marvel fans. And now, here are your hosts, Meredith Blacko, Matt Cook, and the real-life Doctor Strange, Matt Key.
Oh, the real-life Doctor Strange. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am the Sorcerer Supreme. Welcome to Marvel News from Marvel fans. I am Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco.
And I'm Matt Cook.
Welcome to the very first episode of Marvel News from Marvel fans. Schmoville, how are you?
Yeah, hi Schmoville.
It's really exciting to be here. And if you want to hit us up on the internet, find us on Twitter. You can hashtag us Marvel News and hashtag Schmoes Knows, and we will answer all your questions after the show.
That's right.
Because you'll notice we're not live at the moment.
Well, not right now.
Yes, but this is exciting.
Yeah. Since this is the very first episode, we thought we'd introduce ourselves to everyone. I am Matt Key. I've been on the Schmoes before. I'm the resident comic book expert. That more or less just means that I know more about comic books than the other Schmoes. I don't know that I'm that much of an expert, but I know more than them. So I'm an expert there. I'm over at Growlings. I'm in the Sunday Company currently, and I've been reading comic books since I was a small child. Here's an assortment of stuff that I have that I brought for you, and toys. That's me, I guess. Meredith, you want to tell us about you?
I mean, I'm just a little nerd girl who likes to talk about comics. I'm just a giant Marvel fan. Ever since my dad put my very first comic book in my hand, it was Uncanny X-Men issue 244. I was obsessed with Jubilee from the animated series, and he's like, well, I've been reading comics, so I want to get you a present. So he got me that, and I just tore into them. And in fact, the first comic I ever bought with my own lunch money was Wolverine number one.
It's a good one.
It is. It's a really good one. So yeah, so I'm just a crazy fangirl who got this great opportunity to talk about comics. Outside of this, I'm a news producer and talk show host. So I've worked with NBC and CNN on the back end of things, and I've hosted one of the very first nationally syndicated talk shows about cool things like comics called Radio Sci-Fi back in the day.
You might have heard. We were talking earlier. You're up for a couple news Emmys.
Maybe. Wow. Yeah, they're group efforts. But yeah, I know before I left my job, I did have some stories I worked on. So I'm pretty excited. So I just want to say, go NBC Southeast. You got this. You got this. To all my friends.
Yeah.
Still there.
Yeah.
Speaking of first comics, Infinity Gauntlet was one of my first comics. Like what an introduction to Marvel, right? Like,
wow.
Yeah, that's a good one to start with.
I was like, what is this? What is
massive.
This guy? Yeah.
And then I don't know what my first comic was. I don't remember. I know that I had a bunch of them.
You were born with comics in your hands.
Yeah, pretty much. I remember my first big... Hi, I'm Matt Cook. I'll do that first. And then my first big like Marvel thing was my brother and I had a VHS tape of Pride of the X-Men that we watched non-stop. Do you know it?
No.
You don't know Pride of the X-Men?
No.
Anybody out there that knows Pride of the X-Men, it was supposed to be like the new X-Men cartoon. It was before Fox put on their X-Men cartoon that I grew up on. But it was a one-off cartoon series called Pride of the X-Men that introduced Kitty Pryde to the X-Men. Wolverine was Australian. It was basically it's part of these guys, but it's like giant size X-Men. But it's basically that roster. And it was incredible.
Well, was a roster in the 80s. Like.
Exactly. So that's when it was made. And it was this VHS that my brother and I, we like wore down. We watched it so many times. And it was awesome. And then I started buying comics and cards. And I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. We're dorks.
Yeah, just a bit. But yeah, we're just really giant fans who, you know, like everyone here listening and watching our show here on the Schmoville Network, you know, we just love what we do. And we do want to say, like, you know, we might screw up from time to time. We might get some facts wrong.
I will not.
Okay, I will.
Ever.
I
Cook
will.
Is infallible.
Yeah.
You'll
right.
learn that about him.
Yeah.
That's actually, he's our fact checker, but but we...
And you guys didn't know this, but Spider-Man was originally a woman.
What?
Yeah, and created in 1993. And those are all true facts.
Wow. You heard it here first, everyone. Schmoes exclusive on history.
Is that what
the true history of Spider-Man?
Yeah, the new Spider-Man movie is going to be about?
Well, they're going to reboot it. They've actually they're doing a reboot from the Andrew Garfield one, and they've currently rebooted that reboot. So the reboot that has not yet been made is currently undergoing a new reboot because Spider-Man, they got to get his origin story out there.
No one's ever heard the origin story.
The origin story of Spider-Man in any of the films. It's so important to do that because nobody knows that he was a teenager that was bit by a radioactive spider. So they should take 3 hours to explain that. You know what I mean? Because they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. I don't even know what you're talking about.
We'll get into it. speaking of getting into it,
news.
Should we get into it?
We want to get into the news?
I think we've got some pretty cool news this week.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
he's on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. He's just.
I was making sure the fans had stuff to say. I was seeing what they were saying. I'm sorry.
You'll be sorry.
So, Guardians of the Galaxy broke 600 million this week.
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Which it's doing 300 million domestic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, like a big point of pride for all of us nerds who were like, everyone's like, Guardians of the Galaxy, what is this? And all of those of us who knew were like, oh my God, like it's going to blow everything else out of the water. You guys don't even know.
Yeah.
And now it blew everything out of the water and no one knew.
See, I was okay, so while I am a huge X-Men fan, sometimes outside of the Marvel Universe, I haven't read a whole lot. So Guardians is not really, Avengers and Guardians I never got into.
So you were one of the people that didn't know.
Yeah, I was kind of like, what is this? How are they going to do? When they first announced it, I was like, what are they doing? A CGI movie? Because I thought it was going to be full CGI animation. I'm like, how is that going to fit into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And I was like, a raccoon, a tree, how is that going to happen? And I saw it and I was like, this is the best Marvel scene.
It's so good.
It is amazing.
It's so good.
And I love it. I got really excited when they announced it because I thought that it gave them license to do some more stuff. And I like the idea that such a distant group of characters, basically from the Marvel Universe, has been brought so hard into the mainstream. And in the movie itself, they do some like massive comic booky moments. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like kind of ridiculous, massive comic book things, and they do it really well. And for me, and I've had a lot of issues with a lot of comic book movies because I think they...
Well, you're opinionated.
I'm opinionated, yeah. But I think what Guardians did so well was show that you can make a comic book movie a really great movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where some films fail. So like, we have to make this comic book film a comic book film. And it's like, well... No, like comic books have been around for decades because they have such intense human elements and it's so important that you get that stuff right. And Guardians, which is a ridiculous cast of characters and creatures and locations, it focuses on the character. And I think that's why it's doing so well, is because it's an actual story and it's something that people can get into. And I love that it's being rewarded.
Yeah. Well, and what's fun about it is that it focuses on the character, like you're saying, but it focuses on the characters inside of the dynamics of the team and how they interact with one another and everything else. And they just so happen to be traveling into the severed head of an ancient celestial being.
Right.
Like, that's just... Don't pay attention to that. Like, let's focus on this core group and the dynamic that they have with each other. And that's just...
Yeah, and when the dynamic's done so well, you're like, oh yeah, there's totally a giant floating head in space that you can gamble inside of.
Yeah,
like, you don't pay attention to that stuff. You don't get like, wait, what's happening here?
It's you
like,
buy
no,
it.
Those guys buy it, so I buy it.
Yeah,
and that's so cool.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about that film was just the cast, as we've mentioned, but I just love the interaction and how fun it was. Like, it's been a while since I had, like, Avengers was a great action movie.
Yeah.
Cap 2 was a great, you know, almost like a spy thriller, but Galaxy was just, or Guardians was just a fun superhero team up. It was.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And I think what else is cool is that they were all bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, none of the heroes started
as heroes. They're like thunderbolts in space.
They were jerks, you know what I mean? And not one of them had that many redeeming qualities, but they were forced to become heroes. And I think a lot of times in superhero movies, they take these iconic heroes and turn them into jerks to make them more edgy and make them more whatever. And it's like, that's not what it has to be. You can have a hero, and I thought it was so cool to do it the opposite way, of take these kind of, like, down-and-out criminals and make them better. Watch someone rise to the occasion. I think that's what all superhero stuff should be. It should inspire you to be better.
It's so much easier to relate to a character that's fallible.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the reasons I kind of have a hard time with Captain America, is that in so many ways he's perfect. He's, you know, he's Marvel's answer to Superman, and I can't relate to someone who's so good and so whole. And it's like, you know, for me, it's just, you know, someone like Star-Lord or even Gamora, it's like, you know, they mess up from time to time, but they're just always trying to
You know what might be interesting about that is that Captain America is the only character in Marvel, for the most part, that is a holdover from the Golden Age of comics. And like,
that's true.
You know, a lot of people say that the biggest issue with DC is that they're like these sort of like these gods that can just kind of stand above humanity. Right. And then Stan Lee comes around in the 60s and is like, no, let's make a teenager with problems.
Yeah.
And that, like, all of a sudden we can connect to Spider-Man in a way that we could never connect to The Flash or to Superman or something like that. But Captain America, what you're saying, is a holdover from the Golden Age. So I wonder if there's something there, you know?
I love Captain America, and I love him as a character. And when I really started loving him was when I read The Ultimates, which was Mark Millar, that was released in, like, early 2000s, and it was the revamping of the Avengers for today's world.
Well, and I mean, the comics are based... Like, at least, like, the movies are based.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot. Like, even in the Ultimates comic book, they talk about, like, Betty Ross, who's the girlfriend of the whole on-and-off girlfriend of Bruce Banner, is their press agent.
Yeah.
And, like, she's working press, and she's getting them stuff. And they start talking about, like, what are you going to get us, a movie? Like, all right, who would play you? You know, Tony, who would play you in whatever? And they go around, and they're like, Nick, who would play you? He's like... The one and only Mr. Sam Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then however many years later, Sam Jackson's cast. Well, and that's who that
was. And that character looked like Sam Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They built him
comics.
Off of that, and then here it is. So, but the Ultimates did Cap really well. They made him this sort of like 1940s, like true blue, red-blooded American who's like, hey, you're out of line. I'm going to punch you in the face. And they're like, you can't punch people. Stop punching people in the face. Captain's like, no, it was wrong.
It was wrong. I'm
like,
going to punch him.
He was this awesome like... You know, man out of time and all that stuff. So, you know, I think I agree with what you're saying, but I think when it's done well, it is. You need that.
Yeah, unfortunately,
sort of.
I kind of gave up on the Ultimates because I was following Ultimate X-Men for a while, and then they brought in the Fenris twins and they brought in the Shi'ar. It was just too much for me.
I only did the first four arcs.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah. But yeah, so in more Guardians news, it looks like we might see a Guardians and Avengers crossover come the third movie. There's a wrestle site, PW Mania, that is reporting that Batista, who played Drax the Destroyer, has been in closed-door talks to reprise his role in a very heavy way in A3, which would make total sense because they are totally building to an Infinity Gauntlet film. We've seen enough with the stingers and the teasers with Thanos being one of the big bads. And that being said, Guardians 2 could really tackle Thanos, but I feel that this is going to be one of the first big crossovers that we're getting. So, and from, you know, what I've heard from some other inside sources is Batista, you know, really kind of wants more of that Hollywood action. You know, we see how well it's doing for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who I love him so much and so proud of him.
It's hard to not love him.
Yeah, it's
I
so
think.
Hard not yeah. to. So, and I think I really am excited to see a bigger Drax presence in Avengers 3. And I'd love to see how they're going to meld those two properties together.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of seeing those guys on screen together, like in the first Avengers film, when it's Cap, Iron Man, and Thor, and they land and they're in the woods and you see the three at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before they even fight, there's just that moment. And I remember being in the theater and being like, oh my God, it's them. You know what I mean? Like that idea of like seeing more heroes at the same time and that idea of those worlds intersecting is so cool and so exciting. And
well, and I feel they're going to clash, you know, because they're so different in terms of just their...
Oh, of course they're going to clash.
I don't think any of the heroes so far in the films have gotten along.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think at any point, like...
Well, no, Hulk and Tony, because they got science bros.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But he was pretty antagonistic, Tony Stark.
But Tony's antagonistic. Right. No, it's him in general.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also think that them talking to Drax is more like a symptom, or maybe symptom's not the right word, but like they're talking to all of them. I think that Drax is just the one that we've heard about.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine they're talking to all of them, and that's kind of like...
Yeah.
You know, the canary in the mine to say, like, hey, look what we're doing. Like, we're talking to all of them.
I think he was really the only one who didn't have a huge locked-in contract because of how controlling WWE is with their characters. So I think, you know, because we know everyone's pretty much been signed on for Guardians 2. So I think it's just a matter of, like, can he get out of what he's doing with WWE right now? So I think that's really where it stands. So I'm excited to see what comes of that, because we should probably hear some... Because we're getting Guardians 2 is slated for July 28th in 2017. Yeah. And Avengers is an unset for 2018. So we got some time.
Got a little bit of time. Well, in other news, we've also got Michael Douglas is not going to be wearing the Ant-Man suit. He's playing Hank Pym in the new movie. He will not be putting it on. It's apparently just going to be in the background for him. And then Paul Rudd will be dressing in it as Scott Lang.
Yeah. Now, can you give me some flavor on Scott Lang again? Ant-Man's another property I haven't really read a whole lot of.
Scott Lang is a criminal I know, right?
So back with the bad boys turning good.
So he's a criminal who his daughter is sick, and I think it's something like he can't afford the doctor that he needs to go to, so he turns to a life of crime, and in order to help him with his life of crime, he steals the Ant-Man suit from Hank Pym, who is still an active Avenger. You know, he's not like really old, like what they're doing in the movie, but He goes and steals the suit, and then you know, Hank Pym is trying to chase him down and everything else, and then it turns out, oh, he's actually a pretty good Ant-Man. So he becomes kind of a second Ant-Man. I think there's a third Ant-Man, but I can't remember his name.
I think so. I don't remember, though.
He was a turned SHIELD agent or something like that.
I can't remember his name. I don't know.
Hey, Schmoville, if you know. Schmoville, if you know.
Third Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Third Ant-Man, yeah.
Hashtag us at Marvel News, Marvel fans.
Yep.
Let us know, please.
Yeah, let's start that dialogue.
Yeah, I like talking to people. I have nothing. I like to get up in the morning and tweet at people. It's my favorite thing to do.
And also along with the Ant-Man news, mm-hmm. we've also got Judy Greer is in Ant-Man. And we were talking earlier. Some people think that she's going to be like a Janet Van Dyne character or something like that.
I personally think they're just going to bring Cheryl Tunt in from Archer to just be part of the Ant-Man universe.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's yeah. probably what
that's
it
exactly
is.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I think that Evangeline Lilly is going to end up being the Wasp. I don't think that...
Well, yeah, her haircut is already, like... I mean, yeah. she's got that
the
total
bob haircut.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
so beautiful, so, too, on her.
Yeah. I don't think that Judy Greer is going to be a superhero. As much as... Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
I would love to see it.
She's great. I'd love to see where they put her and what she would do. I think that'd be so... I don't know. I'd love to see it.
What superhero would she be, though?
I don't know. Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
let's get that guy going again.
Yeah, well,
so that makes me wonder if they're going to bring in Silver Surfer into the Fantastic Four.
I feel like that's a lot. I feel like if you're going to reboot it and you're going to reintroduce those characters and all that stuff to go right to Surfer.
Why not?
But I love the Silver Surfer.
No, I love the Silver Surfer, but we've already seen like they've got Doom and are you talking about in the most current one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Doom.
Come on. Let's just put 10 villains in at one movie.
Well,
it worked the next three.
Yeah, it works pretty good.
Yeah.
It's got a great track record.
Yeah, and in Spider-Man 3, when they had like, 40 villains.
Yeah.
That was only one storyline.
You know, the only thing I remember about Spider-Man 3 is how emo Tobey Maguire was.
I have shut down.
Yeah.
You brought up Spider-Man 3 and I've gone into like panic, like abused child mode. And I'm like, don't talk about it.
Aww.
I love Spider-Man. I have yet to really...
connect to any of the films?
Yeah. I think the best Spider-Man's been done was the cartoon Spectacular Spider-Man. I think that's the best.
Was that mid-80s?
No, it was recent. It was a few years ago.
Yeah,
I
know which
XD.
One you're talking about. Yeah.
They scrapped it to do Ultimate Spider-Man, which I feel is more of a Deadpool cartoon than a Spider-Man cartoon. Like, there's the weird like breaks of the fourth wall, the weird like all that stuff. But Spectacular Spider-Man handled the like sacrifice and the heartbreak and the heroic side of and the quips and stuff, like it was just good. And he was smart. Like every time he beat one of his like iconic villains, it was in a new fun way that was like science related, and it showed him being a really
science-y.
Brilliant
sounds like a really good kids cartoon, like really
it was
you know,
a great adult cartoon. I loved it. But it was great for kids too, and like I thought it was that's my favorite incarnation of Spider-Man so far. I think it was the best.
I do want to watch the Web Warriors Ultimate Spider-Man, because we finally get Donald Glover as Spider-Man, because they
that's
cast
awesome.
Him as the voice for Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm pretty stoked, and apparently they're bringing in so many different iterations. We get Spider-Girl, Spider-Woman, so I'm really excited to kind of see all those brought
how,
to
how
cartoon.
Bad how bad of a Marvel fan am I if I haven't read any of the Miles Morales stuff? Am I like a pretty bad fan?
I mean, it might make you a bad human.
Yeah, it's
more than
wow.
any. I mean,
wow.
Why haven't you read it? Is the question. That's what you just haven't gotten around to it. Or
I just haven't gotten around to it.
People are upset.
Yeah.
Are you one of those guys that are upset?
No.
Okay.
No, not
right,
at all.
All right.
Not at all.
All right,
like
all right.
I never had anything invested in the Ultimate Universe.
I did. That was actually when I got back into comics. There was a deal I saw that was like you could subscribe to Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate X-Men and get half off both. And when I started to like really start buying comics again, I did that. And I read Ultimate Spider-Man for a long, long time, but I dropped off a while ago, and I haven't picked up the Miles Morales stuff. But now he's in the real universe, the main universe and all that stuff.
The Marvel 616?
Yeah, which is great.
What's the ultimate number? I think it's like 1210, right?
You're asking the wrong person.
I don't know. You're the guy
12.
For that.
I think it's
1210. Expert.
Marvel 1210. I think it's 12. I can't remember the last number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I love that he's been brought on to voice him and all that. I think that's so great.
Yeah. I mean, because the fans, when Miles Morales did come about, everyone's like, we want a Donald Glover Spider-Man movie. And I hope, I would love to still see him like live action don that suit. But
be great.
I'm happy to get
that's
this.
That's a good suit, too.
It's a great
Morales
one.
It is a great great Spider-Man. There's been some bad ones.
Yeah.
But that's, I like that
one.
No,
that, that is a good one.
Yeah, I was really excited. I just got a, so I also, in my free time, I do this crazy thing called cosplay, which means I make costumes and dress
costume
up as superheroes.
Play.
Yeah, costume play. But I also sometimes do commissions, and I just actually got a girl who wants to do a gender bend Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh,
so I'm
cool.
doing like a female version of the Miles Morales costume.
Oh, that's
for her.
Awesome.
Yeah, and she's like fierce and beautiful, and I'm like, you got to get some shots with your mask off because she is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So
I always get upset when I'm on Hollywood Boulevard and I see the Spider-Men walking around with their masks off.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
they're breaking the illusion.
Either you're into it or you're not into it, but don't, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
just,
like
a fanny
pack.
Just pull,
like,
yeah, pull a little bit off. Get that kiss shot. Come on.
I get
we
it.
We can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, put a trench coat on if you're going to take the...
Yeah, just do something.
Know.
But I was like, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not what Peter would do.
It's true, though. So other, some news that Stan Lee dropped on us at Fan Canada Expo the other week. It looks like a Black Panther film is in the works.
Like, more or less,
like confirmed.
Not confirmed,
yeah,
but
not
like,
confirmed by Marvel Studios, but Stan Lee. So the actual...
I mean, if Stan the Man says
it. Yeah, if Stan the Man says it. So we... It's been strongly hinted at that Black Panther will be making an appearance in Avengers 2. There's been some filming locations down in South Africa.
It's the first place they filmed.
Yeah, so it's you know, what we would assume. So for those of you in the Schmoesville nation who don't know who Black Panther is, he is the King of Wakanda, which is a fictional country in Africa, and he's also the former husband of X-Men Storm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's really
that
awesome.
That didn't last very long.
It didn't.
No,
sadly.
AVX destroyed
no
that.
No relationship does.
I know.
You can't.
Peter and Mary?
Dude.
We'll table that for another time. I have a lot of opinions about that. But so it looks like, so Stan, during a panel where he's just kind of talking about his whole, you know, involvement with comics, he was responding to a question that was about, would there ever be a Black Widow standalone film? And he says, they're already working on Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, and the Black Panther movie, and there are others I'm not allowed to talk about. So he just kind of threw that in there, and none of us have ever heard any, like, peep about this.
I would like to point out she almost said Black Panther.
Yeah, Panther.
And I would love to see a Black Panther.
Sorry.
Someone just runs around pantsing people.
So for those of also you who don't follow me on Twitter, I actually had a concussion 2 weeks ago. So the fact I'm like up and around and able to talk, because I was having some of that, you know, that great thing when you get hit on the head and you flop words.
Great thing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful
thing.
By great, I mean terrible, but it's really good for comedy when you are saying, hey, really, I need the fish to my keys so I can go get my tuna, and I'm like, what? And my boyfriend's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, I meant I wanted to go get some sushi. Can I have my car keys?
No, you're not allowed to have your car
no,
keys.
No.
That's what that answer to that
but yeah,
is. No.
So I do apologize.
Loosen
I'm
those
still
headphones
not there.
Too.
I know. But yeah, so
Black Panther, yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty
back
excited.
On track.
I know. But yeah, I'm pretty stoked to see that happen because he's such a dynamic character. I don't, you know. And earlier this morning, I got on Twitter and I asked our fans for some fan casting if who they'd like to see as Black Panther. And we got some really great responses.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite was from Gregory Dickens suggested Idris Elba.
Yes.
Who I am in love with Idris Elba, and I just want him in everything, even though technically he was already in a Thor movie, but he was covered.
So good.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't like him?
No, I love Idris Elba. I think he's amazing. Like, he was...
You don't like him?
No, I do. He was great in Pacific Rim, and he's great in Thor, but, like, I don't...
Well, who would you like to see as Black Panther?
I personally would like to see... I can never say his name, but she would tell Ejiofor.
Yeah.
Like, that guy would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Like, I've been in love with him since he was in Serenity. Like,
yeah, so good.
And we had a few people suggest him on the string here.
Yep.
Freddie Conception suggested him. Mladen Kulik, I believe I said your name correctly. you suggested that, and I agree with you guys.
And it's so cool. I mean, both of those guys are kind of huge, and I think that's where this stuff is going. I mean, I think as soon as they got Robert Downey Jr. on as Iron Man, it changed
the
legitimacy
game,
of this whole thing. And I think it's gotten only better since then. Like, Al Pacino saw Guardians of the Galaxy and he's like, yeah, I would do one of those movies. And it's like, that's great. That's so
exciting. Speaking of, who would Al Pacino play?
I love that idea. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can I throw one out? I would love to see him play Kang. Kang the Conqueror.
Oh.
Right? Like, with
that
the purple face and like the weird, like, I'm Kang the Conqueror. I don't know. I do a terrible Al Pacino.
We were saying,
I'm Kang the Conqueror. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're sweet. You're sweet.
Sometimes.
Thanks, Cook. Thanks.
When you earn it. Yeah, I don't know. Pacino. We were saying Cosmo.
As the voice of Cosmo?
So fun.
The dog.
Yeah, the dog. Yeah, the telepathic dog.
I want to see him a little bit more than that.
Who made a cameo in Guardians?
Yeah.
He just didn't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But I love that. I love that idea that these massive actors are being brought on to portray these massive characters. So I think it's the way to do it.
One of the things I was reading about the Ant-Man Michael Douglas thing is he Douglas kind of even said, he's like, yeah, so I don't really understand this. Like, there was a disconnect there. So, but it was the same for Chris Evans when they brought him in as Captain America. There were some reports where he wasn't super thrilled. But now, I mean, that man loves that role. So
right. So
I'm hoping, you know, Douglas being in the film will change kind of some of his mindset about it. Because some of the reports where, like, I think it was MTV sat down and interviewed him. And he was like, yeah, so I'm not really familiar with the material.
Yeah.
And he doesn't quite understand it. So,
but just going back to Black Panther, like... just as a character, since part of our show's idea is to educate the fans who may not know who these people are and stuff like that. Black Panther, many people may not be familiar with him. His name is T'Challa, right? Mm-hmm. Is it T'Challa or T'Challa? I've always said T'Challa.
I say T'Challa.
I say T'Challa,
I say too.
Yeah, T'Challa. All right. T'Challa, and he is the king, as you mm-hmm. said, of Wakanda, where they the only nation on the entire Earth where you can mine vibranium.
That's right.
Which is a more dense and better material than adamantium, which is what Wolverine's
it's
bones.
It's nearly indestructible. Well, it absorbs all vibrations. It's what Cap's shield is made out
and
of.
And what Tony Stark's arc reactor in the films is made out of. They've
because
that.
He discovers that element.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like it in Wakanda, it exists naturally.
Yeah,
at least in the comics.
And
so
Wakanda's
we'll see where
like
they go with
this sovereign nation with incredible technology that's hidden deep within.
Yeah.
The depths of Africa, and it's cloaked and
it's
all
cloaked
this stuff.
Like most other nations don't even know it exists because of their technology.
Yeah, Black Panther is one of the most technologically, and well, T'Challa is just, he's up there with Tony and
he's brilliant.
You know, and I'm blanking on the Fantastic Four.
Reed Richards.
Yeah, I try to always forget him. Yeah,
not the touch.
No, sorry, it's okay. I try to blank him out of my mind. He's just an absolute super genius, and it's great what he's done for, you know. But they don't talk about him a lot in the comics.
Like, he doesn't have a giant presence, which is unfortunate. But he's also like, he's very much like Captain America, like in his power set.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's super agile, super fast.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes from his suit.
Yeah.
It's
like the
mantle of the Black Panther is passed down from generations as the guardian of Wakanda.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of different things that he can do, like he's got vibranium tipped claws and stuff like that, and he's actually handled really well and a really cool character in the cartoon Avengers
Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Which is a great, I mean, those
so
the dynamics
good.
In that show are that's another
that
one
was,
that got that scrapped
was,
for another reboot, and
it's
on Netflix right now. You guys should watch it. It's one of my
two
favorites.
Seasons
and it's the
amazing.
Same guys who
it's
did
amazing.
Spectacular Spider-Man.
That's why
it's great.
It's a good show. It's a good cartoon.
But Black Panther's really cool. He's a really cool character. There's a lot to go in with, and I'd love to see what they could do.
Yeah.
And also, I'd love to see Wakanda on film.
That would
be
so
beautiful.
Cool. Yeah.
It's like an Asgardian level, like city of beauty, or more than a city.
But. And one of the other people, I can't find him here. One of our other Schmovillians suggested. The girl from Walking Dead, Michonne.
Oh, yeah.
And Lupita.
Lupita, who played from 12 Years a Slave. Oh, my gosh. If they did, like, a daughter.
Like, that would, yeah, like the daughter of the Black Panther, kind of like what they're doing with the Hank Pym and Ant-Man and Ant-Man and everything.
Ant-Ma'am.
That would be really cool. That would be very cool, like to see like a female Black Panther, like the daughter of the Black Panther, or like the queen of Wakanda.
I mean,
like, that would be cool.
Yeah, there's been a huge push, especially from you know, not just the female fans, but from the fans in general, to see more female characters displayed on screen. I mean, Black Widow has done wonderful for all the films that she's been in, and there's been a large cry for a solo Black Widow film. But Marvel still hasn't really given us like, you know, a single strong female lead.
Yeah.
And obviously the you know, everyone's crying for Ms. Marvel there to get her film. But I think, you know, it'd be great to even see some of the gender bending role reversals, even if they don't make the main Black Panther a female, but to bring in, you know, like you and our fans suggested, you know, a daughter of as a more prominent role would be great.
Because, I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
especially with Black Panther, I don't think there's an easier way to do it than have her coming in and being like, I don't care about you dudes.
Yeah.
I care about my country. I care about Wakanda. I care about my people. So get your heads together because we have to stop this or whatever, you know? And then these guys that we know so well be like, oh God, who is she, you know? And Tony Stark making a move and Pepper being like, stop. It'd be great.
You've already written it.
Yeah, you've already
written it. I did. I've written a lot. I actually have the scripts here if you guys want to see them.
Oh, yeah, let's see them, Cook. Thanks. And then, of course, you know, we all want Katie Sackhoff, I think, as Captain Marvel.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Done.
I know. I actually believe it was on the Schmozno movie show that they first announced the that rumor. They started that whole rumor train. So pretty impressive to come full circle there. But I don't know. I'd like to see Katie Sackhoff. I kind of feel like she is that role. Some of our fans have put some other suggestions forth. But mostly it's all Katie Sackhoff. Oh, Emily Blunt was one of the ones that someone fan casted, which I could see. I don't know. I'm pretty much on the Sackhoff train.
Yvon Stravinsky, who was in Chuck, I believe.
Yes.
I've only seen the first season of that. She was great in it.
Yeah.
I don't see her as Captain Marvel. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean her any offense. I don't know her. I'm sure she's a nice lady, but
no, it's just, you know,
I see Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah, I mean, that character pretty much was Starbuck in Battlestar, and you know, I don't know if anyone watched the latest Riddick movie, but she played a really similar
Katie Sackhoff has already played Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Right.
She just hasn't been named Captain Marvel yet. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. It's on the table.
Yeah, we're just
there.
Just
you
saying.
Go.
There it is.
Yeah. In other casting rumors, they can't seem to settle on a Doctor Strange.
No, can I? Okay, here's my opinion. My opinion.
Okay.
Come on. Here's my.
I love it.
Here's my opinion on Doctor Strange. I think they've already cast him.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, I don't think it's going to be Benedict. As much as I would love to see that, I think they've already cast him, and I think they're holding out to announce it at New York Comic Con in October.
Okay, I mean, because
they love to Marvel loves to make those announcements at the big conventions, and
that's
New York is their home.
Let's just be honest, we did not get any good Marvel news out of San Diego Comic Con this year. I mean,
we didn't get any good Marvel news, but I was at the panel and I did get to see the Avengers: Age of Ultron trailer,
and that was awesome.
But
you would think at San Diego, which is the premier, you know, for all the movie and TV news, they would have dropped something, and we didn't get that. But I think it's because, like you said, they're trying to elevate New York's Comic Con, which is not in relation. It's actually owned by a completely different company. Reed Pop owns New York Comic Con, and Comic Con International owns San Diego and WonderCon here on the West Coast. So I think it's WonderCon.
As the leading Doctor Strange fan, because there's only like four of you guys.
There's only four of us guys.
Who would you like to see?
Since I don't think it's going to be Benedict.
Who would you like to see?
I would love to see Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really?
Scream out, by the hoary host of Hoggoth. I would kill to see that. Why are you wrinkling your face? You don't want to see that?
I am like the most anti Bennett BC girl.
You're like the only girl on the entire face of the planet who is
that's
not
okay.
All
I
about...
also am not in love with Tom Hiddleston, so.
You just lost like half of
you
our female
out.
Fan base. What are you,
you
doing?
Get
I love Loki,
out.
And I love Tom Hiddleston as Loki, but I don't feel that Benedict Cumberbatch needs to be in every film ever.
Did you ever read? I agree with that. I don't like when people get oversaturated.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. I just think that he would be a great Doctor Strange.
I think he would be,
but I think with Sherlock and stuff, I have a better idea of what his Strange would be, and I feel like I maybe have seen that movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With
That's
his
fair.
Stuff.
Yeah. That's fair.
I love him. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But I think he's the most on the nose option.
I can see that also.
Which is it's a great casting, but I don't know if that's what they're going to go with.
No.
They've got to get a weird guy.
Well, two weeks ago.
It's just he's too weird of a character to be like a straight guy, you know?
Yeah, I don't know Strange like you know Strange, but I love the bravado of, you know what I mean? It's such an interesting, he's always felt like a really lonely character to me. Like, he's alone in his study with his helper, and like
he's only got Wong. That's all he's got, and maybe Clea, depending on which comic you're reading.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you got?
Well, I was gonna say, a couple weeks ago they were floating Joaquin Phoenix as a name, and now, you know, rumors as they have, they come and go. So what do you know about that? I mean,
I don't know anything else.
Well, I mean, your feelings.
What are my feelings on it? I went and watched Master, based on Cook's suggestion. Because I wasn't convinced about Joaquin, but having watched Master, Joaquin would be good. He would be amazing.
That's what
he would be amazing.
I love that idea because I have no idea what that movie would be.
Yeah.
I would love to see him take on the Sorcerer Supreme, and I think that'd be fascinating. And I think if it's handled well and...
Because that guy can play quiet, and he can play quirky and weird and loud and...
He's great, and he's another one of those, like, monster actors. Like, one of those guys that, like, so talented and so... deep. Like, I would love to see what he did with this. And I think that's what characters like this need, is that sort of
They need to be brought to life. And, like, you know, Doctor Strange is like, he's this jerk of a surgeon in the beginning, you know, who like has all the money in the world, and he's just like a total jerk. And then he goes and finds, you know, Zen, and becomes the Sorcerer Supreme. So like, he's got to go from like, I'm a jerk, to, you know, and like peaceful meditation.
And it's not an easy ride. It's a pretty bumpy ride.
No, it's an awful ride. Yeah. It's an awful ride.
Which is exciting.
But then, like, after he reaches that place of tranquility, he has to start killing demons. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. So like, how do you act that? You've got to have a master actor be able to pull that off. And I think Joaquin would be amazing at it.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I just want him to make good movies.
Yeah.
I want the movie to be good.
I want to see Joaquin.
Like, a good
Doctor
Strange movie.
That's
would
crazy.
Be the most incredible thing. Like with all of that stuff going on, and like.
Like, how are they? They're going to other dimensions. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, how are they going to do that? Like,
I don't know.
Oh my! Schmoesville, if you haven't read like the first like 20 issues of Doctor Strange, starting with Strange Tales 110, moving forward from there, do yourself a favor. Go take a look at that stuff. Jack Kirby does the art. It is crazy. It is crazy to think that they would put anything like that on film.
It's also like Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? Like, I know. Just the name alone is like...
Well, it's the same thing with Guardians. It's like, who would have thought that they'd put this on the big screen, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. Like, I said, I was throwing some shade when I was like, Guardians, really? This is going to be a thing? And, you know, Marvel proved me right. Because, you know, I guess I just need to learn to have faith in Marvel, because I get so disappointed by, say, like... the X-Men movies, or I don't know. I'm excited for the new Fantastic Four. I think it's a huge divergent from the other, you know, the previous film that they're rebooting, but I really, really think it's going to be a good film. So I'm going to put my trust there. But then again, Sony's also let me down with that second reboot of the Spider-Man one,
yep.
Which I finally did go and watch it. Cause even though everyone's like, don't go watch it, Meredith. And I did. And I was like, I'm really, really disappointed about that. So, I think Marvel's onto something. I think their key with them is that they get people who are passionate about it. You know, when Cap 2, the directors were announced for that, my roommate, who absolutely hates Community, was like, this is going to be the worst movie. I can't believe that they have these guys direct, you know, writing, directing it. And it's her favorite of the Marvel films. Cause Winter Soldier is her favorite arc in
fantastic arc in the comics.
So I think Marvel's really, you know, now that they kind of have the freedom, and I think really having Disney own them now has really helped give them the resources they need to go out and really create these beautiful stories. So I think, you know, bringing in Doctor Strange, you know, what do you think other weird properties like Marvel can bring in, like unknown, you know?
Well, they're talking about the Inhumans, which is like, I mean, that would be Marvel's answer to the X-Men and having mutants, because they don't have the rights to that since Fox has that stuff. That would be a wacky property to bring in too.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, they've got, like, they're related to the Kree, and the Kree, like, came to Earth and tried to seed the Earth, like, before humanity
but
was
ever born.
But I
don't think they can, because they can't use Kree, can they? Cause
no, the Kree is,
Marvel
no.
Can use Kree.
Marvel can use Kree. Yeah.
So okay. For those Schmoesvilles that don't know, the Inhumans are a race of super beings that live on the dark side of the moon in Adalan.
Is their
home. And,
but they originated on Earth.
Yeah, and they went there to escape and to create their own land where they could be free and they're just a bunch of...
I mean, they're mutants. They really are.
Just like a bunch of like incredibly visual like mutants. Like mm-hmm. they're every shape and size and power set and all that stuff. So
like Black Bolt, their king, can't talk because just a whisper will blow up a city. Like
with a whisper. It's...
And Karnak is his like advisor, and he has the power.
Karnak's a little dude with a goatee and a big head
and a giant head,
and he can spot any weakness. Like that's his mutant ability.
And when you hear that, you're like, wow, what would that guy do? But like then he's like, I can see your weakness, and then he murders you with a flick of his finger.
Yeah, and you're like, ah, my kidney. And you had a weak kidney, and you didn't know it.
You
but
had
Karnak
no idea,
did.
But Karnak, he knew. Mm-hmm. He found it.
Oh, that'd be real cool. That'd be a crazy, crazy looking movie, and I think it could be. Really fun. Black Bolt, tough character to get on film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they've done
cool,
it.
Though.
They've done it with, I mean, they did Rocket, they did Groot.
They
did Thanos.
The idea of like Black Bolt, you're just going to have like, Black Bolt would be Thanos. He'd just be sitting in his throne and be like.
Just looking intense all the time. Because when he talks, he kills people.
Mm-hmm.
People die when he talks.
Yeah.
By the power of his voice.
It's exciting.
It's amazing. And I'm also, you know, something too that, again, super, super unknown property that's coming out soon. Big Hero 6, Disney's first Marvel property that they're animating with. So I'm pretty excited about that. Because yeah. I don't know if you guys ever read the little mini series from back in the day.
Never read it.
Really cute. It centers on, you know, a young boy in the, in you know, who creates a robot. A health robot, and then forms his own like superhero team. Basically, it's kind of anime-ish, but it's going to be really, really adorable. I actually got to go do the press day at Disney Animation Studios for it, and I got to see some behind-the-scenes stuff, and I'm so stoked to see it because the world that they've built for San Francisco, which is San Francisco and Tokyo melded combined, together. Yep. It's beautiful. One of the most immersive cinematic worlds I've ever seen done in computer animation, and
really?
Disney's really like some of the stuff they've done. They've upped the bar. They've created some new software for all the rendering, just the light points that they're bringing in is absolutely phenomenal. So I think, you know, if you guys haven't really heard a lot about Big Hero 6 out there, while it's not put out by Marvel, it is going to be put out by Disney, but it's, you know, they were given the director, like, here, go pick something from the Marvel vault that you want to create. And it's
and there's a teaser for it out right
yeah,
now,
there's
right?
So, there's yeah, two, there's
it's
two,
amazing.
Yeah, there's two
looks
teasers.
Good.
It's great. The main, you know, robot's name is Baymax, and he's this huge inflatable, you know, medical robot, and they build a suit of armor for him. And it's, you know, and one of the other things I was really fascinated to learn in terms of Disney is that it's their largest animated cast ever. They had to, like, in addition to the six main characters, they also have their superhero forms. So you have, like, essentially plus the bad guys, plus the
wow.
some of the side characters. I want to say there's like 17 fully animated cast members.
That's
in
awesome.
It.
Wow.
So it's going to be really, really phenomenal. And again, some of the stuff they've done, it's, you know, obviously a kid's movie, but it's aimed at for adults to enjoy. So
yeah.
I'm pretty excited to see that come alive.
Yeah.
Well, Schmoville, what do you think? What strange Marvel properties would you like to see? Continue telling us your fan casting for Black Widow or Captain Marvel or Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Or who?
Black Panther.
That's been our show. You can follow me on at the Matt Key.
Yeah, I'm at M Placco. I don't have a cool name, just MPLACKO.
And I'm at Matt Cook Tweeted.
Yeah.
Check that out.
I know, wow.
Matt Cook Tweeted.
Yeah.
And also continue to go to the Schmoes Know website. Continue to go to our iTunes page and comment there on what you like, and everything. If you like our show,
yeah,
please
rate us. What do you want us to talk about? What do you want to hear? What do you want us to dig into? What do you want us to scoop?
Yeah, we are fans for you guys. We're just gonna sit here and talk about the things we love or don't love.
Ooh,
ooh.
Yeah. So keep in touch, Schmoville. We'll see you next week.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes Know Network crew, we'd like to thank you for listening to Marvel News from Marvel fans. To join the conversation, find them on Facebook and subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. And be sure to subscribe to the YouTube Schmoes Know Podcast channel at Schmoes Know Podcast.